Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is God's Word. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, two things I want you to especially see in that first verse. The first is, the way we received this is through His righteousness. It's not on the basis of something good we did. It doesn't say who on the basis of your performance have received a faith as precious as ours. It says who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith. God is the author of salvation. He is the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. So please notice, he's writing to people who've been saved by God's grace. He's writing to people who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. That's the second thing I want you to see in that opening verse. He says, if you're a follower of Jesus, your faith is just as precious as that of one of the apostles like Peter. Because it's the same faith that comes from the same God. Now, should we love and respect each other? Sure we should. But don't think that somehow because you're a new Christian or because somebody else has been a Christian a long time, that their faith is of a whole different kind than yours. No, this says your faith is just as precious as ours. That's the Apostle Peter talking. And he says, your faith is just as precious as ours. Why? Because it's from God. It's something he accomplishes. He's the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Got it? That's good news. Then he says to us, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. How do we get the grace and peace back in verse 2? Through the knowledge of God, through our relationship. This is not just knowledge like knowing the multiplication tables or a timeline of history. This is a relationship. Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and bore a son. It is a relational kind of knowledge. Okay? You can know all about something and not really know that thing. Not have ever really experienced it. Let's say you have read 6 books on sailing, but you've never been on a boat. Okay? You know a lot more about sailing than some people who sail, but you don't know sailing. Because the fact of the matter is, to get out there and experience that, that's a whole different dimension of knowledge. This is not just abstract informational knowledge. This is relational knowledge. It is knowing God personally. That's where the grace and peace comes from, and that's where we receive everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power, verse 3, again, making it clear that this is all from God. It's not something we accomplish. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Would you say he's emphasizing the fact that God is the author of our salvation? I mean, is that pretty clear in these verses? He keeps coming back to that and driving that point home. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, that is, through the promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You not only in Christ Jesus, through the Word of God, through His promises, you are not only given the capacity to say no to sin, but actually to participate in the divine nature. That means God lives His life in and through you. God, Almighty God, makes you different. He gives you a new nature. He gives you new desires. He changes us from the inside out. He doesn't just give us a list of behaviors he wants us to cultivate. He, through his promises, guarantees that one day we're going to be just like him. In 1 John, we read, what love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called his children. And that is what we are. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he will appear, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him just as he is. I want you to understand that God's will for your life is not just to give you a bunch of rules to follow. He wants to change you from the inside out, so that you increasingly desire what pleases him. And the stuff that used to be so attractive and so appealing and so seemingly irresistible, you now are able to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires by participating in the very nature of God. Well, how do I do that? by believing what God says. Through his very great and precious promises, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in this world. That's why you need to know the Word of God. That's why you need to believe what God says. How do you see yourself? Got an email this morning from a lady who's got a child that she's interested in sending to the ranch. It's her daughter, and she's concerned about her daughter, and she would like for her daughter to come here. And what makes this interesting is that this mother was a student here briefly years ago. Okay? She's not one of our graduates. She's not one of the ones who was here for a long time. She was here briefly, and here's what she said, and here's part of what she said in her email. She said, I think you could help my daughter. Because even though I was only there a short time, the time I spent at the ranch had a tremendous positive impact on my life and helped me to draw closer to the Lord. Now, folks, the purpose of this ministry is to point you to the Lord. It's to try and make it easier for you to believe the good news of God's love for you. The fact that he sent Jesus to save you. That's what we want you to know. That's the most important thing. Everything else passes. But the most important thing is that you would know him. Know him, not just know about him, but have that relationship with him. It's not enough just to have information. You need to know God in a personal way.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now again, up to this point, first four verses, emphasis is what God has done, it's God's doing, it's all on the basis of grace, it's the Lord who does it. Now, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. So on the one hand, Peter is saying it is God who gives us salvation. It is God who gives us everything we need. We've already been given everything we need for life and godliness. And it's through the Word of God which you need to know and believe. But now that you understand that, here's what you need to work on. Work? I thought it was all by grace. It is by grace. We're saved by grace for good works. Ephesians 2. Okay? It is by grace. But the purpose is not that you will be just a lump. The purpose is so that God will manifest his character through you. What does that look like? Well, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Goodness? Really? I thought, in my flesh, there's no good thing. In your flesh, there is no good thing. But you're not just in the flesh anymore. Now you're to walk in the Spirit. Now you're to yield yourself to the Lord, dying to self and living for him. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. That's a tall order, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of good qualities. Well, let me tell you something about these qualities. You not only need to have these qualities, but you're to have them in increasing measure. It says, for if you have these in increasing measure, not enough just to have these, you're to have them in increasing measure. Whatever amount you have, it needs to be more and more and more. You need to be working on this. You need to be pursuing these things instead of pursuing what the world pursues. Understand? So if you have these in increasing measure, these are not a sequence. Don't misunderstand the way that it's written. He's not saying, well, after you have been given faith, then you need to get goodness. And when you get your goodness built up, then you can go for knowledge. That's not what he's saying. He's giving a list of qualities that reflect the character of God, and he's saying, this is the stuff that you need to be after. I mean, are you working on your abs? Are you trying to get, you know, the definition there where it's ripped? It's great to be in good physical condition. I'm all for that. I think that's wonderful. But let me tell you something. If that's your great ambition in life, if that's really what it's all about, you're wasting your life. Now, can you pursue godliness while working out at the gym? Absolutely. But this is the list of what you're looking for, not how much your biceps have grown. So, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a shame if you had this relationship with the Lord and didn't do anything with it? You were ineffective and unproductive. Those are two things I don't want to be said of me. Okay, well, how do I keep from it? By pursuing these things in increasing measure. Well, what kind of stuff? Eloquence? No, eloquence isn't on the list. Talent. Nope, talent's not on the list. Brilliant intelligence? Not on the list. The stuff that's on the list is all character qualities. All of it. And that means everybody in this room, if you know Christ Jesus, you can pursue this. There's none of this that you're disqualified for. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That's what you're supposed to pursue. And you can, by God's grace, believing his promises, trusting in him, and yielding your life to do what he says. If anyone does not have them, verse 9, he is nearsighted and blind. Why does he say nearsighted in there? Because his point is, a person who doesn't pursue this is just focused on stuff that's close by. It's all they can see. Okay? If you're just thinking about right now, just about the moment, just about what pleases me in this moment, you're nearsighted and blind. Okay? You're missing the big picture. You don't understand the long term. We tend to believe that we're in the right, even as the evidence starts to come in suggesting that we need to change course. One of my favorite Gary Larson cartoons is a pilot and a co-pilot in the front of the plane looking out through a break in the clouds in front of them, and they see a mountain goat against a white background. And one of them says to the other, "Huh, how did he get up here?" Now, pause and think for a moment. What is about to happen? What? Crash. Absolutely. But instead of realizing, oh no, we're going down, they immediately interpret the data in terms of there's a mountain goat way up in the sky. The mountain goat is not way up in the sky. The mountain goat is on the side of a mountain. Yes, thank you. And they're about to go into the mountain. So that's not funny. Yes, it is. Because what's funny about it is the fact that they are doing exactly what we do, and that is presuming, of course I'm right, that's what's out of place, instead of realizing, oh my goodness, that's reality, I've got to adjust. You see, God's word doesn't change. So if we think we ought to be able to do what we want to do and have it our way, we're going to end up shipwrecked. We're going to end up crashing. We're going to end up in a disaster because we think that everything needs to work around us. That's not the way the universe operates. Okay? God is not in an election. He's the creator of all things. He is eternally Lord. And so his word tells us how to be like him, and because of his grace and his power, has the capacity to actually change us to be like him. We get our minds renewed, we get our lives transformed. And the consequence is that stuff that used to be really appealing to us is less and less so. And stuff that used to be boring is now what we're eager to learn and grow in. So, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, not to earn your salvation, but to make sure that you really are the Lord's child. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's desire for you, child of God, is that you would spend forever with him. This is today the birthday of my oldest grandchild. And so my oldest grandchild and her younger brother, whose turn it was to come and spend the night at grandmama's house, I get to live there too, I'm grandfather, but you know, they want to go to grandmama's house. Well, let me tell you, it was fun having them overnight last night. It was fun hearing the pitter-patter of little feet in the house this morning. And in about half an hour, I'm going to be taking them back to Knoxville to be with their parents. I love them. I love it when they come to visit. But I'm not wishing all 10 of my grandchildren were living in my house. You understand? And the reason I'm saying this is because it blows my mind that the God who created the universe not only says, Jim, I want you in my family, but he says, I want you to live at my house forever. Forever. You will receive a rich welcome. God loves you, and he wants to spend forever with you. God's so much better than I am, but I want to become like him. And through his promises, he gives me the power to change. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm trying to put every effort into becoming like my daddy. I hope you will too.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.wearsvalleyranch.org.